Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today I'm joined with Nicole Pope. She is a medium. And guys, I thought I was done recording for December. And guess what? I was not. And it's not often I grab my computer and dust it off. But I did for Nicole. And Nicole, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Leslie. So excited to be here. I appreciate it.
I cannot believe what you did to me on TikTok, even though it's going away. I love your content. I love how I just really resonated with you. And whenever I have psychic mediums on the podcast, there's a few I gravitate toward. So tell me kind of what got you into this, and then we're going to keep talking.
Okay, sure. And thank you so much. Social media is fun, right? It's a lot of effort that goes into these videos. So I appreciate you saying that.
Of course.
But I got into mediumship, I'm going to say, honestly, as a little girl, I was always obsessed with all of the TV show mediums. Yeah. And I got into this actually because my son can see spirit with his eyes.
Wow.
Yes, it's crazy. So I never knew I was a medium. But I believed that the spirit world is there. And yes. once in the middle of COVID, my son said he could see these shadow people in our basement with his eyes.
Oh my God.
I got that confirmed from a friend, and I essentially went to the medium that I went to, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do about this? And she replied, well, you're a medium. Why don't you just fix it yourself?
Oh my God.
Excuse me, what? And she said, you didn't know you're a medium? So that's how I got here, Leslie. My son can see spirit with his eyes, just like the sixth sense. And I trained and here I am.
Your son can see dead people. Well, you know, what is so crazy is you're like the fourth medium psychic that's happened to later in life, because another friend, she didn't even see spirit or really understand the ability she had until after she had a child. Another friend did it, you know, when she was later in her teens. That seems a little bit more plausible. But there's so many different examples. And I'm like, even me, the fact that I feel like I can actually communicate with my mom, you and I've talked about that. I do think we all have the ability, although I do think certain things like what your son have and what you have is kind of passed down. Don't you think too?
I do, actually. And I had a few readings that indicated that it was passed down through my maternal lineage. So I completely agree with that. And I think it's interesting to your point that several mediums that you know, and certainly that's true with me as well, didn't realize they could do this for so long. And I think for me personally, I was never born into a family that did this. You know, I was raised Roman Catholic. We were taught not to talk to the other side, right? So even if I had this natural ability, I guess I would say it that way, I was completely unaware of it because of my upbringing, and only when I allowed myself to expand outside of the behaviors, thoughts, everything that I was taught, did I realize that this was possible.
Right. Well, how did they take it when you said, guys, I'm going to go into this full blown, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to do this full time? What'd they say?
Oh my goodness. I would say... It's interesting, right? Because my career before this was working in the corporate world and using data to essentially make decisions. Okay. And I was working with top executives across Fortune 500, Fortune 50 government organizations, right? So I'd already built myself on a platform of integrity and honesty. So when I think of all people, said, hey, waving my hand, I can talk to dead people and I'm going to go do this for a living. I think even my most skeptic family members knew what I put behind my work and the integrity and the hard work I put behind it. And they're like, well, if she thinks she's doing this, then she's absolutely doing this. So even I would say embraced on all sides, both from the people who were like, gung ho, this is amazing, can you give me a reading, as well as the skeptics in the family.
Right. Well, you know, they go by how you are in real life too. And if you have that integrity already, you're probably going to be believed a lot easier from family and friends. So I get that. Well, good for you. Cause I don't think that's always the case with everyone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few strongholds in the family. I'll be honest with you, Leslie. There always are. I know I was very supported, especially by my husband and my kids. And I was a little more nervous about the community because I have two young kids, obviously. And I was more afraid to come out to the community because I didn't want them to be seen as the kids whose mom talks with the dead.
Right. Well, you know, I do think it's more acceptable, though, right now. I think it's becoming more acceptable anyway. But let me ask you this. When you do your work, I know you're psychic and I know you're medium, and both go hand in hand. But I think psychic abilities take more practice maybe than mediumship, at least for me. I don't really claim to be psychic at all. But what makes you different? I mean, do you specialize in anything? I mean, I know you do animal communication, but to me, they're just another soul that you could probably connect with. So what do you think is different about how you approach it?
I want to answer this two different ways, Leslie. So when I was training, I would say what made me different as I was learning mediumship is, as I mentioned, I come from a data background. So I'd actually use data to help me identify my strengths, my weaknesses, and probably help me learn a lot faster in this modality than I think it would have otherwise.
Yes.
So using data and kind of evidence and tracking metrics, right. I'm laughing as I say that because it's ridiculous. In terms of talking to the dead, I'd say that was kind of what set me off different learning as a student. In terms of nowadays, what I think makes me unique is I like to bring all of the practices together. So I like to tell people that I'm a medium because I consider that to be the gateway spiritual drug, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people believe it, or at least, you know, we have TV shows. It's more palatable for us to think that our loved ones are there on the other side and that we're seeing all of these signs and synchronicities from all of them. But I use that almost as a hook to get people in to talk more about their soul's mission and what they're here to do. You know, personally, in my own life, I was very unfulfilled with my career, even though it was a very successful career, even though I was renowned in it. I don't think I ever applied for a job, Leslie. I think I applied for the first job and I got recruited out to every other job I ever had.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I was very good at what I did and I loved it and I was passionate about it, but it didn't feed my soul. And despite all of the surface level accomplishments I had, I was still miserable on the inside. And using this work and guiding me to this work, I realized that I could find out who I really was as a soul and what really lit me up and made me happy.
Yeah.
And I used the tools of Akashic records, of healing, of mediumship, kind of all of the different modalities that you can use in terms of spirit communication to help guide me personally to live my best life and to bring that joy on the inside as other people saw it on the outside and that success. So that's what I am really passionate about in this work and wanting to help others really feel like they've accomplished and they can be proud of themselves both inside and out.
Right. Because you can actually read Akashic records. You can actually go into someone's book of life, for lack of a better term, and say, this is maybe how many lives you've had or you've done these things. Can you do those kinds of things for people?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. So just maybe to rewind a second, and you're spot on there. The Akashic records is essentially the book of our soul. Okay. So you can tap into it. Everyone has the right to access their own Akashic records, or if you're not sure how, you can use a professional like myself. But this essentially is the journey of your soul. So you can go and ask whatever questions you want about who you are as a soul, what you're here to do in this lifetime, maybe talking about relationships or what are your soul contracts, your learnings with people in your lifetime. But you can also go backwards and learn about past lives, as well as understand going forwards potential outcomes of possible decisions or choices that you want to make. Yes. So it really is kind of like the Google of your soul, and you can access unlimited information in the Akashic records.
Well, it sounds also like you can kind of get to know yourself on a higher self level. Like, I'm drawn toward this. I may be this one sex more than another. You know what I mean? You can kind of see, this is what I kind of gravitate toward. Is that, or is it really more all over the place? We want to experience everything.
I think it is. I think it's all of the above, Leslie. I think you can access who you are as a soul and who you are in the spirit world, you know, above all of these reincarnations that you have. But then also, it's almost like different levels. So you can go to your higher self, or you can go to any of the different incarnations that your soul has had and figure out, what was that life? Who were the people in my lives at that time? What were the lessons I went through? You know, was it a happy or sad life? Did I make big change, or did I just go in to have a vacation life? You know, so it's really cool that you can kind of access all the information.
And I was just going to say, just when you said, am I going to go and have a vacation life? I do think we plan this stuff, don't you?
100% yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, people are like, oh, you're victim blaming because nobody wants to die in a car accident and die at 15, or nobody wants to lose a child, or nobody wants to die of cancer. And, you know, we don't plan that. And I do think we do. I absolutely think we do too. And good or bad, regardless of the person, regardless of what you go through or the kind of person you are, everybody goes back to the same place because we're all energy. We're all souls. We all congregate back. Now, do you go on the same levels maybe as everyone, the same frequency? Because maybe you were really, really a good person and you did so much. Well, you might not be on the same level as like a Jeffrey Dahmer. Is that kind of true too?
I do. I think that's true.
Yeah.
I agree that certain souls are probably on different frequencies or vibrational levels.
Yeah.
I don't know if as a high vibrational soul, I think you could probably go down to any level that you want to.
Oh, I don't know. Agree.
And as like a lower level, I don't think you can go up. I think you have to learn lessons to kind of go up the vibrational frequencies, if that makes sense.
Yes.
But yeah, I do think overall, Leslie, you do, you know, choose your lifetimes. And I think that there's free will within there, but I think you essentially know the lessons that you want to learn in each lifetime.
Yeah.
And you pick the right soul, the right lifetime to teach you that. And I believe that within that lifetime, there are major milestones that you are going to go through. And I think of these as your major turning life events, like who you're going to marry, your kids, that kind of thing, what your career is going to be. Right. But I think that there's flexibility for free will within that.
Oh, I agree. And I do think sometimes people come to be maybe even bad to help the person they love so much that they're in their soul family and say, okay, you want me to do this? Okay, I'll do it because I love you and you really want me to do this. So I'm going to be somebody you hate and I have to deal with that. You have to deal with that. Do you know what I'm saying?
I completely agree. And I'd love to use an example from my own life for that, if that's helpful for maybe your listener. So I grew up with a very narcissistic mother, mother. And I had struggled my entire life on how to remove myself from kind of her energetic grip. And I'm a very independent person. I'm 100% the black sheep of the family. So I'm the one that got out.
Oh.
But I never understood what her role is and why would I choose her as a mother?
Right.
And by the way, I've tried all traditional therapies. I mean, I went to therapists, I went to everything to try to resolve my issues with her, especially as I became a mother, because I didn't want to pass down the narcissistic traits in that pattern that exists in that side of the family that has happened over generations. I wanted it to end with me. I got nowhere until I went into the Akashic Records. And when I went into the Akashic Records, I asked, what is my purpose? Why did I choose her as a mother? And the Akashic Records came back and said, you chose her so that you could raise yourself and prove that you didn't need anyone to raise you and become the woman that you're supposed to become.
You know what? That resonates with me. You know, I have my own history with my parents and, you know, they were both pretty absent. My dad was abusive, but my mom was really absent in my life. And I kept thinking, why would I want an absent parent? You know, it may not be narcissism, but it's another way of trauma for a child. And I think I needed to be independent on my own too. Now, I didn't have to go through maybe as much as you did, but you know, we all have our scale of how we want to go through it. So, but let me ask you this. What do you think happens when a soul actually dies? What do you think happens?
I've been shown this a few times. So I'm going to actually rewind it just a moment for what happens right before they die, especially if it's a traumatic passing.
Yes.
If they've been in a car accident or something that's traumatic or a stroke or something like that, what spirit has shown me, and this is over many different readings, I'll say, is they actually, their soul comes out of their body before the traumatic event. So they don't actually feel it. They move into the spirit world and they witness what's happening to them.
Okay.
Once they decide that they don't want to be on the physical plane anymore, because I think that everybody, no matter how they pass, they all move into the spirit world right away.
Yes.
And then I think some people can decide to kind of linger here in the physical world. And I believe that is what ghosts are, to be honest with you. I think there are people or souls that tend to linger here and don't want to move on and move into the life review.
Okay.
After that, I would say they move into the life review. They kind of see everything that happens to them or their entire life, but they live it from the people that are around them. So it's like they're in their physical shoes and seeing the impact they made on other souls that were in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe you kind of go and have that review. You decide what you want to do in your next lifetime, and you might learn a little bit in between. And then eventually you'll choose your next lifetime and move into that incarnation.
Wow. You know, and I've heard so many people say the exact same thing you're saying. Different things happen, different circumstances, but pretty much the same verbiage of all of that. But let me ask you, do you think there's some kind of like time limit Do you think there's like, oh, you have to wait 10 years? Do you have to wait 100 years? Or you can go right back. What are your thoughts on that?
Ooh, I don't think there is any limitation in terms of time. And I think that's a very interesting question because I don't think there is time on the other side.
Exactly.
I think that you can come back immediately. I think especially if you had a goal and there's, I'm going to say like there's a body that you can pop into right away, especially within the same family, just go pop back into that body and go try to do that same goal again that if you weren't able to achieve it in the first lifetime. But yeah, I think so too. Not only can you go back whenever you want in terms of the timeline after you pass, but also I think that when you reincarnate, you can actually choose any timeline as well. So you can choose to move into the future. You can choose to go backwards in time. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, because everything's happening at one time. You know, I say I'm talking to my mom and she's up in spirit, and she is because I'm talking to her higher self, I think. But she could be incarnated right now living another life.
Yeah. And I want to say she is. Yes, you're right.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay. That is so funny. Wow. Full disclosure, Nicole and I have already recorded this once. So she kind of knows a little bit about how I work with mom and what happened with my dad. So I can tell her things and she gets it. But when we're talking about ghosts, you and I talked the last time when I screwed up the recording, when I told you, I was like, you know, when someone is like in a coma or even in a dream, and you feel like, because there's no time on the other side, and you feel like you've actually had an entire lifetime in a dream, or what a woman said, she was in a coma for 7 days, and she said, I had an entire lifetime, what am I doing back here? And I'm thinking, could that be a ghost when you are stepping into another reality? Or maybe it really isn't a ghost, because you're really, you know, you're really into that spirit, you're really into that meat suit. I mean, what do you think about that?
Honestly, I think that anything is possible, Leslie. I think there's so much about the spirit world that we don't know that I could completely see that if you were in a coma, you would go and have maybe another life during that time, because anything is possible. And time is not linear, time is not the same, maybe time on another timeline is faster or slower. So I completely agree with you. But personally, that stuff can just blow my mind. So I tend to stay away from that and just treat it all like it's a black box that I don't know the details of.
I don't think we're really supposed to understand it, because we're supposed to be human in this reality. And when you start, you know, I can get really airy fairy, and thank God my husband doesn't believe in any of this stuff because he grounds me, but he's very proud of me and all the things. But, you know, it's one of those things where I know in my existence, and it resonates with me, what is true and what I have seen is true in my world. And so you have to go by what you feel. And if we have guides and we have people on the other side rooting for us, why wouldn't you feel that way unless you truly just don't believe in it? And there goes the people that really don't believe in what you do, and you're the black sheep of the family. And that's what a horrible thing too. But then again, you're learning from that as well.
Yeah, it's just so interesting, Leslie, because I think you're spot on. And I think that, you know, everything that you're mentioning and everything, this is why I try so hard to not come from judgment, and why it's so, I'm going to say it's so hard to do this work, especially removing your ego space, because I think a lot of what we've been taught comes from society. It comes from these cultural norms, and especially, you know, the fear perspective and people not believing me. And I'm not afraid of any of that. And I know that most of the time when people come from a fear-based or a skeptic-based, they're actually coming from love because they care about you and they want you to be okay in their own minds. But yeah, I try to just, I don't know, I guess I'm one of the least judgmental people you're going to meet, just because I see there's wonderful attributes to everybody, and all of our tough spots, we're all trying to move past it and become the best soul we can be in this lifetime. So I don't know, I guess that's my answer to that one.
Yeah. You know, just like with Dolores Cannon, I've read so many of her books. And one book, and I've talked to my listeners about that, she said in one of her books, I can't remember which one it was, she's got so many, she said, you know, we have to come and experience the earth before we are incarnated into a higher soul. But we have to be that rock that would be so disappointing. And we have to be that tree, or we have to be that blade of grass, or the, you know, the gas in the air or whatever. And then you move on, and then you move on. And I think that's where our love for animals and trees and nature and all of the things above come into play, don't you think?
I do. And I would agree with you. I think that we have to come here on a short-term basis first, because this energy is so dense here. And I love that you mentioned the trees and the air. And I would also say, you know, let's say babies that couldn't make it till they were born, right? One way or the other. I think those are souls testing out the density here, to be honest with you.
I could not agree more with you on that too. And a lot, you know, because there's so many that unfortunately there's so many miscarriages statistically anyway. So it does lead credence to that. But yeah, I do think that, you know, especially animals, I have such a reverence for animals. And I tell you, I had to have been some kind of dog or something in a past life, because I am so connected to dogs. And we talked about our dogs too on the last recording that I screwed up. So, right. So like when someone talks to you, is it better to go in blind with that person so you have no idea who they are, except for, hey, I know just because your name, you're male or you're female, and you're obviously over the age of 18. I mean, is that all you know about these people?
Pretty much. I do have a form that people fill out to get a reading with me. So I generally know your name. And then I ask, you know, I have a little space on my form just to say, is there anything you want me to know? And some people put in, you know, I really want to chat with my dad. So honestly, though, Leslie, it makes no difference. I read for people all over the world. I started on Reddit. When I practiced, started on Reddit with usernames, right? I don't even know if you're a male or a female, but I can tell that you have a mom in spirit, and this is who that is. So honestly, less information, though, is better. And I would highly recommend to anyone getting a reading, you know, don't feed the medium. Respond with, you know, yes, no, I don't know, maybe. So yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Less is more.
Yeah, it's just because, you know, and I don't know if you can even read like your friends or your family. Can you even do that now?
I can. Oh, I love this question because it is so controversial in the mediumship world.
I know, because they're like, oh, one and done. And then, okay, I can't read them anymore because I know who they are. So there's no need for me to go back to her, because not that people have to go to a medium every 6 months. I don't mean that. It's not like you're getting a hair appointment. But there are times when if you know them and you've read for them, and if they need you in 3 months or in 2 weeks, just because they forgot to ask something, it's still okay to do that, correct?
Oh, 100%. And there is just a lot of controversy in terms of, can you read the people that are closest to you? Can you read your own departed loved ones and all this? And my perspective has always been that you are talking to a spirit that has had most likely a very long life here in the physical world. So I should be able to talk to your dead grandfather probably about 50 times and pull out new evidence every single time that you can take. So I think that you can go to a medium and talk to the same spirit as many times as you're like. That being said, though, if you're going for advice, they're going to give you that advice in that first reading. And if you don't take action on that advice between that and your next reading with the same spirit, they're going to say the exact same thing. So that's why you want to give a little bit of time between readings, especially with the same spirit.
Right.
But other than that, I think it's a free for all.
No. And you know, it's funny because when you said, yeah, your mom, I think she's in spirit again. Well, when I was talking to her a while back, I said, are you going to incarnate or what? She goes, nope, I'm waiting for you. But let me tell you why I think that sliver of my mom, Sue, is there waiting for me. But any number of slivers of her higher self could be living, just like me, other lives. But the actual person that I know that is Sue, I think that sliver of her is still there. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. And she is, right? And her soul will always be there with you. I think that she wants to wait to reincarnate with you again. Yes. And so I think she's waiting to choose that lifetime with you. But I have to be completely honest with you that what keeps popping up in my head as we're talking about your mom is a woman that's on the prairie in like the 1800s with like a bonnet on her head.
I can totally see that.
So what's cracking me up is I see her as a little girl, and I think that she's living this parallel life while she's talking to you on the other side. And I don't think she's going to live very long in that lifetime, but I think she's still, because I feel like your mom would want to make the most out of her time. And I feel like she doesn't like to dawdle. I feel like she's always on the move. So that's why I'm seeing her in this 1800s time period with, you know, it looks like the Oregon Trail in my head.
Oh, wow. So she's multitasking.
By the time that it's your time to cross over to the other side, she'll be back fully so that you can go hand in hand and make that decision on the next lifetime together.
Oh, wow. And you know, it's funny because I could be her mother. She could be my dad. I mean, it doesn't matter the sex, and it doesn't matter the actual relationship. It's just that soul. We recognize each other on a soul level. As many as my near-death experiencers have said, I didn't know these people that I saw when I first got there. They show themselves as humans because we're fresh from here and we're confused as hell. But then all of a sudden I knew these people, and I knew they were in my family. I knew them on a soul level that I can't explain verbally. There's no words for that.
That's the knowing in your soul. You're absolutely right.
So, but yeah, with my mom, she's so funny. Oh, and she loves you, by the way. She thinks you're amazing too. It's funny because she loves a lot of my friends that are psychics and she hangs out with them. I don't know what it is. She loved this kind of element too. That's one thing she did love. She had the same love of the metaphysical that I do, and she loved it. And so whenever I talk to people like you, she'll say, I'm going to hang out with her for a day. And she hangs out with my friend Christina all the time. She loves Christina, the other psychic medium that's like a resident psychic medium on here. It's so funny how she loves you guys.
Oh, she is so fun. I have to be honest, since we recorded the first version of this, now that we're on to 2.0, she has been hanging out. And she loves animals, huh?
Yes. Yeah, she loves animals. I mean, I say that, you know, she had animals, but because her life was just a little chaotic, she couldn't be the animal mama. She wanted to be here. She'd either have to give them away because they'd be moving and all the things, and that would tear her up. But I mean, who knows what she's doing on the other side? Because, you know, I didn't get to know my mom very well here like I do now. And I am so much closer to her now.
Isn't that amazing, though? And I love that so much because I think it's so resonant with me. And that's something I struggle with some of my own clients as well, is having departed loved ones. I'm going to say it neutrally.
Yeah.
That maybe they didn't have the best relationship with in this lifetime. But when they cross over and they realize what they did to you, and making them realize that's not who they are. And if you can meet them at that soul level, where who they were in this lifetime is not who their soul is, because you always love the soul, like the spirit world is unconditional love. So you always love these souls that are surrounded you, regardless of what kind of lifestyle you had or what kind of lifetime you had with them. And I love that you have that relationship with your mom at the soul level, and you can make that bond even stronger after she's passed. And I think there's a lot of my clients that just don't get that, and they miss out on that amazing opportunity to become best friends with people that they didn't really know in this lifetime.
Yeah, because, you know, it's so, first of all, it's healing, especially with my dad. And then I said to my mom, when I first started kind of talking to her, I said, Mom, now I tell people that you're great and I have a great time with you and all that when I talk to you in my mind and we can communicate. But I tell people also the kind of mom you were here, and how much more fun it is to have that knowledge of you there. And she stopped me and she said, don't worry about that. I don't feel like I did then. I'm not a save face kind of person. You know, I don't get mad. I don't get revenge or anything like that. We don't have those kind of emotions here. So you tell your story. That was your perception. That is the correct way you should describe me to everyone, because they need to know how far you've come and how far they can come with their own loved one. And I was like, wow. Okay, there you go.
Wow. That's so incredible. Yeah. That's so incredible. I love that so much.
Yeah. Same with my dad though. You know, my dad was very abusive and you knew that story. And I didn't have to ask him because I'd already talked to my mom about it, but you know, he went so far as to being absorbed back into the light, at least for now. I don't know if that sliver of my dad will come back to his higher self. I don't know. Like you said, I think anything's possible, but it's just, it's crazy how, this is how I know it was true. I never would have thought of that. I never would have thought of those things. Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden I'm like, well, that must be it then, because that came out of the blue.
Yes. Yeah. I completely know what you're talking about. And I'm being reminded that I have family members on the other side that I have that same experience with. So my aunt and uncle, who I didn't really know that well, it's the same story. They passed a long time ago. They both moved very far away from me as a child. I didn't know them at all. And they are two of my biggest supporters, and they help me with this work and with my students every single day. So you're spot on. And I love how perceptive you are. And yes, you are 100% just a psychic medium that hasn't been trained.
Maybe I need to take some of your courses, because now that I know you're psychic, because we all are, if we have the mediumship, but I think everybody has this, guys, you can too. You know, we all have that antenna. I want to call it an antenna for lack of a better word. But since you are kind of psychic, do you have any predictions for 2025 for us?
Ooh, good question. I'm actually going to tap into the Akashic records of the collective. Okay. That's a much more comfortable area for me.
Okay.
Let me ask what the Akashic records of the collective wants your listeners to know about 2025. Okay. This is going to be a year for your listeners about patience. Mm. And I say that with gritted teeth. I want you to know that. Because I don't think it's going to be calm. relaxed patients. I think it's going to be tense patients. And I think that there's going to be a lot of unhappy changes for people in the economy and politics and whatever else is going on. But this is really testing us as a collective to come together more at a soul level and bring in the love. And it's almost like going back to basics. And what they're showing me is almost bringing me back to, I want to say almost like the mid 1940s after World War II, and how everyone kind of came together and helping each other and realizing realizing the help that everyone needs. Yeah. And it's almost like this deglazing of eyes and making people to start seeing reality. And it's going to get, I'm going to be honest, it feels like it gets a little bit worse before it gets better, but people need to see the reality of what's going on in each other's lives. And then we will come together as a collective in the direction of a better good.
Whew. Well, listen, you know, how many times have you met your neighbors?
Many.
Okay. Well, with me, I mean, literally, I know a lot of people that do not know their neighbors, do not know the people around them. They are so in their box in their homes. And they don't get outside and they don't connect. And regardless of what your reason is, I do think that this reset is probably something that will keep us in line of a better future for us, because I do think we're so bogged down with indoctrination. And I'm not just talking about religiously, I'm talking about with your parents and how they thought and how, you know, so there's no critical thinking. You know, mama always voted for him or daddy always voted for her. And, you know, we've got to get out of that or we're going to keep repeating this over and over.
Completely agree. So, you know, 2025 is the year. I think the records wants you to be uncomfortable. And if you feel that tug to go meet your neighbors, to go think about things differently and to go research, like this is the year of challenging yourself to do, yeah, act and think differently. And it's going to be so eye-opening for you if you do that.
And let me ask you one more thing. So let's just say it's just a crap year. I think it's not going to be the best year, guys. And I hate to say that, but I'm going to try to be on a positive here. Turn the news off. Go outside. Do things with your family if you can. Get away if you can. Get away from the negative everything, because there's so much negativity on the news. And I'm such a newsy that I want to know everything that's going on. But I have no control over what happens. And I certainly have control over what I watch and how it makes me feel. And if that's the case, I have to take a step back. And I may have to take a step back from social media for a while too. Because if it's going to be as bad as I think it might be, and I don't know what bad means. Bad just may mean, oh, well, it's going to be expensive. Bad may mean, oh, we're going to have leadership that some people like, some people don't like. I mean, I don't know what that means. I just know that regardless, it's not going to be as easy and flowy as it has been, because we have to change this.
Very nicely said. And I would add to that, do whatever you feel in your heart is the right thing to do one way or the other. And don't listen to the external noise and follow what you think is the right thing to do. Follow your own values, your gut, your intuition, and it will never lead you astray.
I agree. Girl, you are amazing. And I love your content on TikTok, however long that sticks around. I will also add your information in my show notes. So tell people where they could find you and sign up for classes, all the things.
Oh, thanks so much, Leslie. So all of my stuff is on mediumnicole.com. You can find my socials and everything on there. I do have a couple of freebies on there, some free master guides in terms of how to connect to your own departed loved ones and how to, at that last point, lean into your intuition more. How do you make that stronger? So head over there for those freebies. You can get some free readings for my podcast out there as well. And yeah, all of the classes, events, et cetera, will all be on my website.
Oh, yes. You have a great podcast called Empower Your Soul, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Nice. And I'm so excited about that, because we may have to do a collab on there too, because I do think we have a lot of good things to talk about. And you know, at this point, we just, guys, think positively. I mean, because honestly, if you buy into the negativity, you're just feeding it. So do your best to think positive. Let that person in line go because you have less groceries. Let someone turn in to the road because you have more time than maybe they do. Be less judgmental on somebody that's got a screaming child in Target. You know, just try.
It's true. And honestly, perception is everything. So if you feel yourself going down the rabbit hole of negativity, just remind yourself of all the amazing things that are around you every single day. And this is what I do in my soul alignment readings as I connect to the records for you, is helping and reminding you who you are and why you are here. And it really cuts out the noise of everything else that's around you so that you can really feel fulfilled and happy in your life. So remember, perception is everything.
Oh my God, perfectly said. Nicole, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You're a delight.
Thank you so much for having me, Leslie. I hope everyone has a wonderful 2025.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.